Once again, I welcome every one of us, those connected online, those who are present here, connected from the seven continents of the world. I bless God for our lives. And this morning, I really want us to move very fast because we have a lot to do, and God helping us to open up some of our understanding about the written word of God. And he, the Lord, will bless us in the name of Jesus. Today we are moving into the Pauline episode, the part 15. And God helping us, we've started from the onset, the conversion of Paul, looking at who he used to be before he became a Christian. And we've been studying his lives until God gave him the enablement to begin to write some of those physical experiences into episodes. So the beginning of his life and all those things, he weren't opportune, or the inspiration was not there to put down those things. But as he proceeds with his life, the Lord gave him the enablement to put down, to document those things that we've called the Pauline episode. And like I always say, it's very paramount in our Christian life, in the sense that looking at the New Testament book that has 27 chapters, Paul wrote 14 of them. And like I always say, one who wrote more than half of a book, we're supposed to take every of his dealings very seriously. And that has helped us down to last 2 weeks when we looked at his court case. He appeared before the governor, Governor Felix, like we saw. He'd been accused by the Jewish leadership, the Sanhedrin Council, as the one spearheading his persecution. And we saw when they wanted to kill him, execute him, and the Roman general, the man at the military leader then, Claudius, intervened, brought out Paul. And because he didn't want uproar in the region where he was leading, he transferred Paul to a higher authority, that was Governor Felix. And we saw how the Jewish people came to court that day, employed the senior advocate of Israel to defend their cause. And actually, they laid three charges against Paul, like we saw in our previous studies. And Paul, when he was given opportunity to speak, defended all those charges. And the judge that happens to be the governor, after he's seen that actually the case brought before him is not worthy of killing Paul, he decided to remand Paul. So what he needed to do then was to release Paul, but he again was also afraid, because the mandate some of those governors received from Rome is to maintain the peace of the region that they are governing. So him releasing Paul will also release an uproar, which he never wanted. So he kept Paul again in the prison. And this time, the incarceration of Paul lasted for 2 good years. So from our previous studies, we saw that Paul wrote his 6th episode, that happened to be the book of Romans, before he moved to Israel. So after the book of Romans, for a good 2 years now, the missionary journeys of Paul has been halt. Paul was not doing anything again. Paul was in prison. So this young man left Paul in prison, visiting Paul. And one of the reasons he was visiting Paul in prison, he was thinking, because big people like Dr. Luke was visiting Paul in prison, mostly those he has preached to in the Asia region, they were also coming to visit Paul, because he gave Paul liberty to be visited. So maybe he must have seen the big people that were visiting Paul, and he thought this would have been a good opportunity to get money from these people. So the scripture recorded that he was expecting Paul to bribe his way out of prison, which Paul never did. Hallelujah. So because Paul never succumbed to his expectation to bribe him, he left Paul in prison. Now, I want us today to look at what transpired within the 2 years Paul was in incarceration. It's very, very important for us not to just leave that very aspect of Paul's life. Because while Paul was in prison, Paul was still doing exploit for the Lord. And when Governor Felix finished the hearing, he went back home, he narrated the proceedings and the teachings of Paul in his defense in that court that very day. He narrated what happened to his wife, Drusilla. Now, Drusilla, his wife, accompanied the husband after the husband has narrated to her, this young man, Paul, there is some mighty things this man actually was saying with his mouth. After he had explained it to his wife would say, I would also want to hear this Paul myself. So that was how the governor arranged a meeting between Paul in the prison, himself, and his wife, Drusilla. So I want us to open to the book of Acts chapter 24, bring out this picture of this meeting that they had, and we will break them down into our understanding. Because there are so many hidden things in this very portion of the scripture we want to read that many of us Christians, we've not taken time to dig deep. We've not taken time to equip ourselves with this important understanding. Hallelujah. So the book of Acts chapter 24, I want us to read from verse 24 down to 27 before I opened up the slides. Are we all there? I believe I'm not fast. Am I fast? Okay, it's okay. Thank you, because I want us to get these very teachings of today. I read. Okay, let's start from 23 so that we can get to the picture. He said, and he, that is Governor Felix, commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. Verse 24. Now, while Paul was in prison now, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And he, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. Verse 27. But after 2 years, Pontius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, kept Paul bound. Hallelujah. So, like I explained initially, so after the first proceedings, Felix has gone home, narrated what happened to his young wife, Drusilla, and Drusilla herself also wanted to hear of this great teacher, Apostle Paul. So Drusilla must have told his oga, please arrange meeting, let me also hear from this man myself. So the meeting was arranged where we just read, where the governor and his wife visited Paul, and Paul used the opportunity to preach a sermon. Now we want to dissect those sermons, because there is what Paul knew about Drusilla that made him apportion his sermon to 3 points. He talked about righteousness, he talked about self-control, that is temperance, and he talked about judgment to come. 3-point sermon that Paul gave, there was actually a reason why Paul preached that type of sermon to those calibers of people. So God will help us to look into this world tonight. So the Pauline episode, Governor Felix and Drusilla visited Paul in prison. Herod's dynasty. Herod the Great atrocities. The sons of Herod the Great, Herod Achillios and his territory. The emperor's judgment. Herod Antipas and his territory. Herod Philip and his territory. Paul and the household of Herod's history. who was Marcus Julius Agrippa I in the Bible? Hallelujah. So please, let's pay attention, because in the scriptures, we've read about Herod. And some of us before now, we've thought that this Herod enjoyed a tremendous longevity. So you keep on asking Herod, Herod. Now, we want to actually dissect and equip ourselves with this beautiful knowledge and move forward with that. Hallelujah. Let me have the slide. So, Governor Felix and Drusilla visited Paul in prison, where we've read in the book of Acts 24. Now, the question is, who was Julia Drusilla? Her complete name is Julia Drusilla. So, Dr. Luke only just picked up one name. Her real name is Julia Drusilla, Governor Felix's wife. Now, let us take her profile, because Paul knew all these things about her that made Paul to preach that type of sermon that he preached. Take note of that. So let's take her profile. She was the third wife of Governor Felix. The third wife of Governor Felix. She was the great-granddaughter of Herod the Great. She was the great-granddaughter of Herod the Great. At age 14, she was given in marriage to King Azizos of Mesa. So this is her history. So according to Flavius Josephus, she was seduced. Now, while she was in her husband's house, the king, King Azizos, she was seduced by the help of an errand person by Governor Felix. Governor Felix actually used somebody to seduce her, gave her promises, and she divorced her husband and became Governor Felix's third wife. Now, Paul understands her history. Paul understands her messed up. So that is why Paul apportioned his teaching based on what we hit her. Hallelujah. Now, Governor Felix used somebody to, to influence her, seduce her, and remove her from the hand of a king. You see, last week or 2 weeks ago, we looked at the antecedents of Governor Felix, and we saw him to be a very cruel and brutal man. So a man who could collect the wife of a king, you know he's not an ordinary person. Praise Master Jesus. You see now about his cruelty. When you check history, nobody has written any good thing about Governor Felix. For him to have collected my fellow man, collected his wife, you know he's a serious bad guy. Hallelujah. So the next point, we are talking of Julia Drusilla. She was the youngest of three daughters of King Herod Agrippa I. So we are going to know all these Herods and the time they operated. So when we see Herod in the Bible, some of us will be thinking that it's one Herod. No, there are four different Herods at four different times that the Bible spoke about. But the writers of the scripture, they didn't went further to differentiate which of the Herods we are there talking about at which time. Praise Master Jesus. So I said, she was the youngest of three daughters of King Herod Agrippa I. Queen Bernice, the wife of King Agrippa II, mentioned in Acts 25, verse 13, was Julia's oldest sister. King Herod Agrippa I, the father of the first lady Drusilla, was the grandson of Herod the Great and one of the Roman appointed ruler in Israel from Herod's dynasty. Hallelujah. Before we move further to the next slide, can you open Acts 25 verse 13? Now, after Governor Felix has left office, Governor Porcius Festus took office. Now, while Governor Festus was in office, the Bible records that after certain days, King Agrippa, now this King Agrippa II, this Agrippa is the brother of Julia Drusilla, the wife of Felix, and Binas came unto Caesar to salute Caesarea, to salute Festus. Leave it there. God bless you. So this Agrippa that was mentioned is actually the brother of the wife of Governor Felix, and also the brother of Bernice. So history had it that two of them, they are brothers, they are married together, which is called incestuous relationship. So Paul understands the atrocities that went around the Herod's family that made Paul to bring out that three sermon points in order to help the woman to realize the need of her giving her life to Christ. Now I say, let us look at the history of the Herod's family. Hallelujah. Okay, this Herod's dynasty, I just pray God to help us with time because we have a lot to look at today. I said the New Testament mentions several men referred to as Herod. From the book of Matthew, look at Matthew chapter 2 down to Acts 26, you will see the mention of Herod. And this Herod are different people. So you and I, that used to be a casual reader of the Bible, might think that Herod had tremendous longevity as a king. That is not true. We have different Herods in the New Testament who were of a dynasty. Different Herod who were of a dynasty. I said Dr. Luke and other Bible writers did not see the need to explain who the Herods were, as that would have been a common knowledge to his readers then, but not for us today. The knowledge is not common to us. By the time Luke and other Bible writers were writing, when they talked about Aaron, the listeners know already the Aaron they were talking about. Now, history has long gone. When they mention Aaron, we are confused. Which of the Aaron are they talking about? Herod are they talking about? So it is very important as Bible students and those who have uphold the scripture to our heart to also understand these things. Then when we are reading the scriptures, we can place them line by line and understand what happened. Somebody shout hallelujah. I say, unlike other previous king of Israel, the Herods were appointed by the emperor and the Roman Senate. The first of Herods is known as Herod the Great, or Antipas II, the son of Antipas I. Praise Master Jesus, Antipater I. So the first Herod in that dynasty is known as Herod the Great, or you can call him the Antipater II after his father, who is Antipater I. So we are looking at, first of all, to look at this Herod the Great and look down to his history. Because we want to know what prepared Paul to give that 3-point sermon, because Paul knew all these things we are explaining now. Hallelujah. Go next to the next slide. Herod's dynasty. Herod the Great. I say he was king of the Jews at Jesus' birth and tried to have him killed. Remember, the book of Matthew, when Jesus was born, the wise men came and they say, we saw the star of a man. And the Bible mentioned Herod. This Herod that was mentioned was Herod the Great. And he said to the wise men, when you've seen him, also tell me, let me come to worship him. So the angel told the wise men, please don't go back the same way you've come, because Herod, this is Herod the Great, wants to kill him. So when he tried that, he didn't work. The Bible also made us understand that he gave decree that every baby below the year of 2 should be killed. His point is to target Jesus, to kill Jesus. Now, while Joseph was in the dream, the angel of the Lord came and said to Joseph, take this baby and run to Egypt. And that was how Joseph and Mary took Jesus and they ran to Egypt, and Herod the Great released manslaughter against the babies that were 2 years below. This is the Herod we are talking about. Now take note. The Bible says the angel came back to Joseph and said to Joseph, time has come now for you to go back to Egypt, for the Herod. Okay, am I fast? Okay, thank you very much. When I saw the policeman, I thought I... okay, I'm not fast, right? Okay, thank you very much. So while Mary and Joseph was in Egypt, the angel came to her again and said, now pack your load and go back to Israel, for the man who was seeking after the death of your son is now dead. So as of that time, Herod the Great was already dead. But the Bible keep on mentioning Herod. So that is why now we want to differentiate which of the Herods were operating at which time. Praise Master Jesus. So by this explanation, as you can see it in the book of Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 21, Herod the Great died and Jesus was brought back to Israel. Praise the Lord. I say Herod the Great, these are now his antecedents. Herod the Great, according to history, helped the Roman army to fight against the Hasmonean dynasty and publicly declared himself a Jew. So that was why, after he'd done that, when the son of Julius Caesar took power, because of his role in helping them to fight battles, the person who was next to the deputy of Julius Caesar was Mark Antony. But they began a civil war broke out that he joined in order to shape things, and later they rewarded him with the title the King of the Jews because of the role he played in that civil war that broke out after the death of Julius Caesar. Hallelujah. I said he was after, okay, I say he was after that war appointed as the King of Judea by the Roman Empire. Now, this is one of the good things he did. He renovated the second temple at Jerusalem. So the person who did that is Herod the Great. He renovated the temple that was rebuilt by Nehemiah and the rest. Hallelujah. The next slide. Herod's the great atrocities, the things he did. I say Joseph and Mary ran to Egypt because of him, just like I've explained. Because of Jesus, Herod the Great killed children below 2 years of age in effort to destroy the Messiah. He fought in support of the Rome against the Jewish Hasmonea and was rewarded with the title King of Jews by the Roman Senate. Herod appointed Aristobulus, his wife. Now, after they've made him the king, he now appointed Aristobulus, his wife's brother, as the high priest, and later killed him because he saw him as a potential rival. You see, I say, Obumane kwe kam magana zoya. So in all the histories of those emperors that ruled, when they see you as a potential man that can overthrow them, be you their father, be you their mother, be you whoever, they will eliminate you. They will execute you if they see you as a potential rival, because then when you conquer, you take the territory. So after he had appointed Aristobulus, his in-law, and he saw that this man is becoming popular, before I know, this man may assassinate me. That was how Julius Caesar was killed. That was how he was assassinated. History holds it that 23 stabs of the knife was what killed him. He was assassinated. So every one of them, they are very careful who is very close to them. And when you become too powerful, they assassinate you. They kill you. So when he have appointed Aristobulus, his in-law, as the high priest working with him, and he saw this man is becoming popular, he immediately silenced the man and gave him rest in peace. Hallelujah. He killed 46 members of Sanhedrin during his reign, and his mother-in-law. I want you to see what Paul knew about this family. Paul was acquainted with this information that made him give that lecture, just 3-point sermon that will comprise everything they've done and give them room to repent. So these are the atrocities. Let's see that. For you to kill your mother-in-law. Okay, that is later. We will see the other things he've done. Herod killed his wife, Marina. Mariana, and two of their sons, Aristobulus and Alexander, as he considered them potential rivals. Praise Master Jesus. When he killed his wife, Mariana, and took his son, Aristobulus 5, he sent him to Rome to be educated. Now, when this young man was educated in Rome, after 8 years, he came back. You know now, you killed my mother, so he will be targeting the father to retaliate. So the sister of the father, that is called Salome. Salome was actually when King Herod went to Rome for a meeting. When he came back, Salome, the sister of Herod the Great, told Herod the Great that your wife Mariana committed adultery while you were away. So because of this alleged allegation, that was why Herod killed his wife. Now, when the son he sent to Rome to be acquainted with informations and educated, when he came back, the same sister Salome began to tell the king, this boy has not forgiven you what you did to the mother. I can see this boy now brooming up to take over. Like I told you, they don't need any rival to come by their side. And immediately, he assassinated his hell apparent. His first will that he wrote, he made Aristobulus his next of kin when he dies. He wrote the will. But because he was still full of life, he never needed anyone to assassinate him. When he got wind of the strength of his son, he killed his two sons, Aristobulus and Alexander, whom he considered as next rival to overthrow him. I want you to see the mess the Aaron's family were into that Paul knew that made him give that sermon that he gave. Hallelujah. I say he died after a long and excruciating illness. The angel of the Lord informed Joseph about his death and asked him to return to Israel. Remember, I've explained that. You can see that in Matthew 2:19-20. So after he had done all these things, when he died, the angel of the Lord said, okay, Joseph, go back to Israel. Hallelujah. Now, during his dying days, he divided his kingdom in his will into four parts and gave them to his surviving sons and his sister Salome, the one who is the informant that always gave him information. He also divided the kingdom in his will to his sister. And after he had killed Aristobulus, his rightful heir apparent to the throne. So this will that he wrote, because he had just said his will about three times. The first will made Aristobulus the heir apparent to the throne. When he killed Aristobulus, he uttered the will. Now, after this will was presented to the emperor then in Rome, I said the action was later confirmed and implemented by the Roman Senate. So the Roman Senate honored his will, and they divided the kingdom, his kingdom, to his three children and his sister Salome. Somebody say hallelujah. So let us look at the sons of Herod the Great. Herod the Great is at the top. Herod Aristobulus is the one now with yellow. Like we've explained, we have Herod Alexander that he killed alongside with Herod Aristobulus. So Herod Antipas was given a kingdom. Herod Philip was given a kingdom, and Herod Archelaus was given a kingdom. Now, after he killed Aristobulus, Aristobulus was lucky that he had some children before he died. So they immediately took his son, Herod Agrippus I, that happens to be the father of Drusilla. You see where Paul is now coming from. They happened to whisk him to Rome so that he won't be killed. And he started schooling in Rome when he was there. So when he finally came back, because he now became a very good friend, when Emperor Augustus took over, he later died, Emperor Tiberius took over. So he was working closely with this Emperor Tiberius. And when Emperor Tiberius died, his other son, Emperor Caligula took over. C-A-L-A-U-G-A-L. Emperor Caligula took over, that restored his grandfather's position to him. So he also did evil in the land of Israel, and he did evil to Christianity, as we will see that. So this Herod Agrippus 1 gave birth to Herod Agrippus 2. that we saw in the book of Acts chapter 25. And Venus, also the daughter, had incestuous relationship with his brother. And Julius Grulula is the wife of Governor Felix Awikle. Praise Master Jesus. Are we following on that? Okay, let's have the next slide. Amen. Oh, God help us with our time. Now, when Herod the Great died, his son, Herod Archelaus, took over power. He took over power immediately. Let's see the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2. Let's just bring up that and continue explaining. Matthew chapter 2. I want us to see verse 19 down to 22. He said, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young boy's life. We've explained it. The Herod is dead. 21. And he arose and took the young boy child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Verse 22, my emphasis. And when Joseph heard that Herod Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod the Great, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into parts of Galilee. Hallelujah. Now, when Herod the Great died, Herod, his son, Archelaus, took over power. And immediately he took over power, he began to give promises to his subjects. Forget what my father have done. I'm coming to do good things in this land. I'm coming to do this. I'm coming to do that. But when he took over power, he needed the approval. He needed the prayer of Rome in order to actually operate as a king. So he was operating on this, and later he left to Rome. Let's read that. I said, after the death of Herod the Great, Herod Archelaus took over power and gave powerful promises to his people. I say, but he needed Rome's prayer and approval to operate as a king. That is where we just read. He now traveled to receive this blessing and approval in Rome when he met his brothers and other Jewish opponents. So when he got to Rome, in order to receive this approval and prayer from the Roman Senate and the Emperor, he now met his other brother, Antipas. We have Philip, and we have the sister. Now, when he got there with other Jewish opponents, they began to say, Oga Emperor, this guy cannot rule instead of my father. This guy, they began to present the cruelty he meted on the people. When he just took over, within 1 month, they started fighting war. Praise Master Jesus. So they presented the will of Herod the Great to the emperor and presented facts of Archelaus Carlos' leadership. Now, they brought out the will that was written by their father, how his dynasty should continue. Let's see the next slide. So this is the emperor's judgment. Now, after they've all assembled, the emperor now took his judgment. This is a quote from Flavius Josephus. He says, Caesar does give some concessions based on their report of Archelaus. I've told you the reports, the allegations they gave against Archelaus' cruelty. Now, Emperor Augustus decided that Archelaus will rule only half of the kingdom and as an eternarch, not a king. He will receive the royal dignity only after Archelaus show he can rule victoriously, viciously. Now, Caesar then followed the King Herod's last will and gives a quarter of the kingdom to Antipas and a quarter to Philip, who had hurried to Rome when he had heard that the tide might be turning against Archelaus. Now, when Archelaus ran to Rome to receive blessing, some Jewish opponents had gone there to oppose the blessing. So when the brothers heard what is happening in Rome, they quickly moved to Rome and they presented the will of their father. And the emperor then now honored the will of Herod the Great and divided the kingdom of Herod the Great as thus. Now, Herod Archelaus was given Judea, Samaria, including some cities in Caesarea. He was removed from power after 9 years by Emperor Augustus. Herod Antipas became a Tetrarch of Galilee and other cities. Emperor Philip ruled over territories northeast of the Jordan River. Then the sister of Herod actually was given some places to oversee. He ruled over central district of Israel. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me have the next slide. Now, like we've explained, Herod Antipas collected the wife of his brother. He collected Herodias from his brother, Herod Philip. So the brother wife is collected is Herodias. Because we remember, you cannot differentiate, that the Herod that killed James was not Herod the Great. Herod the Great is dead long already. Now the Herod that killed James was actually Herod Antipas. Praise Master Jesus. That killed John the Baptist. That beheaded John the Baptist. Now, when the daughter of Herodias, Salome by name, danced very well, we know the story. And the Herod Antipas said, make your wish. And he went to ask the mother. Because John the Baptist has preached a sermon accusing Herod of leaving his rightful husband and marrying the brother, which is Antipas, he said, this is the opportunity to deal with John the Baptist. She now told her daughter, Salome, to go and request for the head of John the Baptist. And that was how Herod Antipas gave order for John the Baptist to be executed. Hallelujah. Now, let's go down. Now, you've seen three Herods now on the show. Herod the Great, Herod Antipas, and Herod Achillios. Hallelujah. Give me the next slide. Oh, our time. Herod Antipas and his territory, like we've seen, he divorced his first wife, Phineasly, the daughter of King Aristas V, to marry Herodite. So this was where he came for, to marry Herodite. I say Antipas ruled during the ministries of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Now you've seen the Herod now that was ruling during the time of John the Baptist. He ruled Galilee, the part of the kingdom assigned to him according to the will of his father. Antipas had John the Baptist beheaded by the request of Salome, the daughter of Herodite. You can see that in the book of Mark chapter 6, you go down. I say, he declined to pass judgment on Jesus, sending him back to Pontius Pilate. Remember, when Jesus was brought to Pontius Pilate sent Jesus to Herod. It was Herod Antipas that Jesus was brought to. But when he came there, he referred Jesus back to Pontius Pilate. You can see that account there. I say again, Herod Antipas in Acts chapter 4 verse 27 was mentioned as one of those guilty of Jesus' death. He was the uncle of Herod Antipas I, the father of Julia Grusilla, the wife of Governor Felix. Herod Antipas was referred to in Matthew 14, Luke 3, as Herod the Tetrarch. So what that means that he is the one who is governing four parts, the fourth part of the kingdom given to him by the will of his father. Hallelujah. So we are tying these knots together now as we move very fast. Now, the Herod Philip and his territory. So he was actually the weak man. History also shows he's a very gentle young guy that doesn't want problem. Because if he's a man that wants problem, I wonder how another man will collect your wife and you go and sleep over it. Hallelujah. So history holds he's a calm man. Herod Philip was given the not his part of his father's kingdom. He was the husband of Herodot. He did so many things. He didn't visit Rome much. He didn't visit Rome much. So let me have the next slide. Now, Paul and the house are hold of Herod's history. Paul knew all these things I've just mentioned. So these were the things that triggered the sermon that Paul preached. Herod the Great, Herod Aristobulus that he killed, Herod Agrippa I that gave birth to Agrippa II, Binas and Julia Grosilla. I say Paul's understanding about the history of Herod Agrippa I, Julia Drusilla, and Governor Felix gave rise to this 3-point sermon, Paul preached about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Because he understood this, he understood how messy their family was then. So that was why he preached this sermon. Let's go to the next slide. I say, who was Marcus Julius Agrippa in the Bible? He was the son of Herod Aristobulus that was killed by Herod the Great, the eldest and mother son of Herod the Great. He was the father of Julia Drusilla, Governor Felix's wife. Herod Agrippa I arrested. Look at now the atrocities of the father of Drusilla. Now he was the Herod that arrested Peter and James and had James, the brother of Apostle John, beheaded. Now this is a different Herod that had James beheaded. You can see that in the book of Acts 13. Next point. As a king, his primary job was to keep the peace of the land. Keeping the peace was the reason for persecuting the early church and the killing of Apostle James. That was all he wanted, to appease the Jewish people. I say he arrested Peter because the killing of James pleased the Jews. You can see that. I say, oh, so I am maintaining peace by killing these Christians. Oh, okay. After killing James, he now went and arrested Peter. And the Bible says prayer was made continually for Peter. And the angel of the Lord came and miraculously rescued Peter. Hallelujah. So he killed, after the angel of the Lord miraculously escaped Peter, this Herod killed the prison keepers because of Peter's miraculous escape. So Paul knew these informations about Drusilla's father's atrocity. So that was why his sermon was channeled to hitting the nail at the head. Hallelujah. Let's see the next slide. I say, we are still continuing. He was killed by the angel of the Lord because he accepted the glory due God alone. And I brought out, when I was meditating this, I brought out, God will not share his glory with any man. The story of Paul and Barnabas, you can look that, let me just explain. When Paul and Barnabas was in Lystra, in their first missionary journey, when they've done miracle by healing the man that was born lame, the priest of Jupiter brought animal to sacrifice. They say, that God has visited us. And immediately Paul saw what they wanted to do. Paul owns way in telling God, I don't accept what they are doing. No, I don't want them to put me and you in trouble. Paul rent his clothes and ran to the gate. And no, that what you are doing is only for my creator. You can't do that to me. But when the time came for Agrippa 1, when he began to give his speech, they had a meeting and he was speaking good things. And they say, the voice this man is speaking with is not the voice of ordinary man. No, this is the voice of God. He did like this. God say, you are taking the glory. So the Bible recorded that immediately the angel of the Lord struck him and he died of that ailment. So Herod Agrippa I, the father of Julia Drusilla, Binas and King Agrippa II ruled as a king of Judea. King Agrippa II is mentioned from where we've read. We read it there in Acts 25, verse 13, who visited Governor Festus. I wrote there, I say, Apostle Paul knows all these atrocities committed by Julian Drusilla's father, and her own atrocities, thus presented his sermon to her, pointing the judgment to come. She divorced her husband and married Felix. Paul knew that. Paul knew what her father did to the apostles. Paul knew what her generations did to Christianity. Paul knew how Herod tried to kill Jesus. Paul had all these things in his hand, and he saw her visit as an opportunity to actually preach the gospel to her. Praise Master Jesus. I said, Felix, her husband, was well acquainted with Christianity and the history above. Remember, when Paul was making his defense in court, he said to Felix, you are well informed about this way. That way is Christianity. So, he was also aware of the history that we've just given now. So when Paul began to preach the gospel to him, that you, Agapheles, and your wife, Juliana, the judgment of the Lord is coming if you people do not repent. The Bible, according to Luke, said immediately he heard those things, he began to shake. And he said, Paul, today someone don't do. Next time when I come, we will continue. And deeply he've gone back to reflect on those things he've heard. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let's have the next slide. I say, he must have told his wife about Paul's teaching during his court proceedings that brought about her August visit to the prison. Remember, I said after Paul's court case, he must have gone home and rehearsed what happened in the court to the wife. And the wife said, please, book appointment. Let me see this preacher that is saying all these things that necessitated this August visit. And Paul, knowing the history of how she became Felix's wife, used the opportunity of her visits to preach to her about what awaits her, the judgment that is to come. Hallelujah. I love Apostle Paul. Paul doesn't miss any opportunity. Any opportunity he has, he releases the gospel and he allows God to do the converting. Hallelujah. Next point, I say, Paul got them both with that sermon until Governor Felix, according to Luke, Dr. Luke, became afraid. Let's see that in that book of Acts, Acts 24, 25. Please, let's see that. Give it to us online. Hallelujah. Give it to us. Okay. He said, and as he reasoned of righteousness, this was the sermon of Paul, temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled. He became afraid and answered, oh, go thy way for this time, oh, when I have a covenant season, I will call you again for us to begin the sermon. Go back to the slide. For him to have trembled, which means Paul got him to the root. I said, they, Felix and Drusilla, missed Jesus through Paul's preaching because their eyes were evil and had nothing in them to accept the gospel. I said, kudos to Paul, the preacher who stood bold for the gospel irrespective of his physical condition. He was in prison, incarcerated. Of his physical position, he said this in Romans 1 verse 16. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We can see Paul living out, even in incarceration, living out that which he believed. The next slide. Hallelujah. Okay. I say, Governor Felix was called back to Rome and was succeeded by Governor Porcius Festus. We can see that in that book. And after 2 years, you see, Paul was in prison. The book of Acts chapter 24, from 24 to 27, is a 2 years time. So that is why I took time to bring out all these informations that has happened within Paul's time in a prison. He said, after 2 years, Paul's court trial started under the watch of Governor Felix. And this is a breaking news that the people of Paul has been expecting for long. Okay, Paul, have they given you dates to appear to court? Because Paul said, you people have to be praying. No, I don't know what is happening. Their prayers has been answered. I say, this breaking news, this is a court notice that the long-awaited case between one Apostle Paul and the Jews will resume hearing next week in Abuja under the watch of Governor Precious Festus. All concerned parties should make their way to Abuja next week. Thank you and God bless you. So by next week, God helping us, Porcius Festus will resume power and he will now call up the case of Paul. And very funny, the Jewish people also sent their representative in that court to after 2 years. You can see how bitter they were to eliminate Paul. They also sent their representatives in this court proceedings. And God helping us, next week, we will look at that. Hallelujah. Do we have any question based on what we've, mommy, one or two questions?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sir, you mentioned the Hasmonean Jews.
Yes.
Please, can you throw more light? Could they wear?
Okay, God bless you, ma. I mentioned Hasmonean Jews. Now, Hasmonean Jews, these are the lineage of the Edomites, Edom. They are the descendants. They were also a big dynasty. And in fact, that was the dynasty the father of Herod the Great operated from. So they were big people, but they are the descendants of Edomite from Aaron. We know Esau. We know Esau to be the son of Isaac, and Isaac the son of Abraham. So during that time, we have little kingdoms. So the harmonious Jews, as they were going on, they were intermarrying. Just like we have the Sumerian Jews, we also have the harmonious Jews that are of the descendant of Esau. So when they were growing up, when Herod the Great now aligned with Rome to fight against his half people, and when they've seen the side of the war he alleged to, he now declared himself to be a full Jew. That gave him that power after the war was over. So harmonious Jews are the dynasty of Edom from Esau. God bless you, ma. Any other questions or contribution based on what we've learned? Hallelujah. Okay, outside any question, which means we've understood very well. We should also be preparing our mind. It's not only you that will ask me. By next Sunday before we start, at least we refresh our minds to some of those things we've learned before. And may He, the Lord, continue to bless and preserve us in the name of Jesus. Let us be on our feet. Hallelujah. Begin to wave your hands in appreciation unto the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Yes, my Father, just wave your hands unto the Lord. Wow, the choir. Just open your mouth and begin to
appreciate. You've been faithful, Lord.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Lift those hands.
From the